We're going to talk more about the Assange case. We're going to turn to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline and speak with Michael Risch. He's a professor of law at Villanova University and specializes in cyber law. Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
You know, Julian Assange has been holed up in that embassy in London for 7 years, and we thought that we need to remind everybody how this case all started, what it is that he felt it necessary to seek refuge there, and some of the criminal charges he's facing.
So there are a couple reasons. The first is obviously his involvement with WikiLeaks, where information was leaked, and there are claims that it was obtained improperly, and that by obtaining it improperly, he might be charged. But also, there was a sexual crimes claim in another country for which he was going to be arrested, and that's where he jumped bail and then sought asylum. And so, it was sort of a dual reason that he was seeking asylum and trying to.
How black and white versus gray are the laws around all of this?
Well, in the U.S., there's been a pretty strong push that the media can publish information that gets obtained. Where you get into trouble is where the media participates in obtaining the information. My understanding of this indictment is that it's not so much about some of the leaks that happened, but it was about conspiracy and attempts to hack passwords to gain other information. And I think it wasn't even successful, but that's what he's being prosecuted on.
So publishing hacked information would be on stronger legal ground, but encouraging somebody or helping somebody to hack is not.
That's the argument, at least, and certainly publishing from a media point of view is certainly more defensible. Today after the arrest, you could see many media organizations saying that this is an attack on the media, this is an attack on the First Amendment, but if you look at it from the lens of participation in the actual hacking, those sorts of defenses kind of fall away.
What's your best sense of what's next with all this?
Well, based on what we've seen so far, I think he's going to be extradited and tried. I don't know how much of a penalty there will be in the U.S. The crime that's been indicted so far is not a terribly serious one, given that there was no actual information obtained. However, it was a government computer, so there are some steep penalties because it was conspiracy to hack a government computer rather than a private computer. So there may well be a plea bargain, or he may fight till the end. I mean, it's anybody's guess. He also may be sentenced in England and spend a year in jail there just for jumping bail.
In terms of extradition, the U.S. and the U.K., very friendly terms. Could this happen a couple of weeks, couple of months in terms of extraditing him, or longer?
I don't know the answer to that. It could probably go quickly, given that this request has been out there for a while, and he's been holed up for so long. But it depends on really not the UK so much, but the kind of legal defense that he and his lawyers are able to mount. To the extent they're able to mount a real defense, which delays things, then we might see a delay, but I don't think it will be because of the relationship between the UK and the US.
Professor Risch, I thank you very much for your time. That again is Michael Risch, professor of law at Villanova University, who specializes in cyber law.